And so the Facebook is just one way of planting. Planting seeds, water it when you can, and then he calls us to growth. Now, we can accumulate people around us, but growth is something from the inside. And when it's talking about growth, it's talking about Galatians 5, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's what grows. The gifts he just passes out, he gives to people, but the fruits is what calls us to grow. And so we can't really cause it to grow, but we can plant. But it is amazing. Just, I love this church. It's awesome. If I wasn't one of the leaders, I would still come to one here. It's just a fun place to be. I love the people. I love you guys. I love the worship. I love the messages, especially when I'm doing them. I go back and... I'm just kidding. I actually never listen to my messages. I can't stand them. It drives me nuts. But anyway. But planting's good. Last night, Sean Blockley, the worship leader down in Calhoun, he has an evangelistic anointing like Gary does. And Gary's going to share just a little bit before we get going. But he has an evangelistic, he's a worship leader there, but he also has evangelistic anointing. And he did a youth revival with about three Baptist churches down off of south side of Dalton. And there's maybe 60 kids there, 20, 30 adults, youth pastors from the three churches, two pastors from the churches. It was so awesome. I just walked in, didn't have to do anything, say anything. We just hung on the grass. And then he played, and he played many of the same songs we sing here. I'm leading up to a point. Then he preached. And Sean is good with youth. He's just got that gift. He holds their attention. He's good. I'm terrible speaking to youth. I was a youth pastor for a year and a half. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. It was just holding a place. You know what I'm talking about? And so, but he was just so good. But this is the point. I was sitting there on the grass. He starts preaching about the kingdom of God and bringing what's in heaven into earth, and started talking to the kids and saying, "What's your problem? What's your problem?" They started telling them what their problems was. And he says, "Is that in heaven?" And they said, "No." He said, "It's not supposed to be here. Let's believe that it's not going to be here in this place." And as I was sitting there on the grass with Mike and Lois, I was just very humbled by like what he said. I remember when I was in Atlanta, Georgia, living downtown, and I thought, here I am in North Georgia, sitting on the grass in a rural area, and the seeds of the kingdom are being planted in these three Baptist churches and their pastors and their staff. And so, even though it may not always appear how you want it to appear, we've been planting seeds. There may only be 50 people here. There's twice that last night, getting the same message and the same songs that were birthed out of you guys. It's being planted. That's how the kingdom of God moves. That's cool, isn't it? It was very satisfying in a neat way. We got another evangelist, Gary. He's going to come up here and share for a few minutes. He is an evangelist in the mountain of business. Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ, Lauren Cunningham, all divided up. They divided up society into seven parts. It's arbitrary. It's not in the Bible per se, but business, education, religion, arts and entertainment, which includes sports, government. I think I've missed some, but there are those pictures on the... Family. Finance. So he's in the... He's an evangelist, and we always think of evangelists more like what Sean was doing last night or coming up here. But he's an evangelist. He is. He has the calling of evangelist. I mean, somebody comes in talking is most likely an evangelist. Hollering, yeah. I was being nice. And so that's good. But he's an evangelist in the mountain of business. And so he's going to just share a few minutes how he does that, what he does.
Well, mostly I just ask God to use me to make a difference. Basically, that's it. I just say, Lord, you know, help me make a difference today in somebody's life where I can encourage them, you know. Uplift them. Let me say a word. A look. It's amazing. It's amazing just what a look, a simple look can do to a person's spirit. I mean, you just approach somebody with a you know, hey, what's up, you know, hey, what's going on, you know, just a little happy look. It's amazing. It immediately they can be thinking about something, and all of a sudden when you walk in, it's like light. You know, that's what it's like, you know. And so I'm on the highway, and this is what I do. When I get on the highway, and I talk on the CB radio, and a long time ago, God told me to get a good radio. So I got a good radio, good sound radio. And it's clear, it's loud, and it gets out there. Because when I use it, I want to use it to make a difference. And I just want to use it to bless somebody. That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do is bless somebody. That's all I want to do. Just to help encourage somebody, uplift somebody. Because in this day and time, you know, and we're lights in the darkness, right? Aren't we lights in the darkness? Yeah. And so it's amazing. The spirit that's out there is always telling us to shut up and be quiet. It's always telling us to be quiet. Don't say a word. You ain't got nothing to share with nobody, dude. Sit down and shut your mouth. You know, I went by truck stops before, and the Holy Spirit, you know, he just prodded me and said, hey, you got anything good to tell these people? And I said, yeah. He said, why are you quiet? Come on. Get that word out there. And I remember this one night I was trucking, and I started sharing about the Lord, about God, how much God loves us, and this prostitute come back to me. She said, hey, dude. Where are you at, man? I told her I was trucking, going by the truck stop. And she said, take it down to channel 27. So we went down to channel 27. And she said, you know, this is the hooker. And she says, you know, I hear you, what you're talking about, Jesus. And she said, when I was a young girl, I used to walk with the Lord. And she said, I got married. She said, I got married, went through a divorce, and I got hanging out with some folks that were influenced by this persuasion. But it's prostitution persuasion. It's a persuasion. There's so many persuasions out there, so many influences that come to our mind. And when she said it, I embraced it. And I said, well, why don't you just turn around right where you're at? And I said, wherever you're at, I said, all you got to do is turn around. And I said, you can walk 10,000 feet steps away from the Lord. But if you'll just turn around, he's right there. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I said, he's right there. And he's got those arms open wide. And they're not. And his eyes, look at his eyes. They're not eyes of condemnation. His eyes are filled with compassion. I said, just reach out to him. He's there. And she stopped talking to me. Because I knew she was broken up about what I was saying. And I never heard another word from her. But I went on down the road, and the Holy Spirit said, well done, kid.
You planted.
So that's all it is. Just make a difference. Just have God to make a difference. That's all.
Amen.
We can do it.
Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And that's a perfect example. And that's the verse I was going to start out on tonight or today or whenever it is. And those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And I just want, this is a message to Christians today. I mean, if you're not saved, then you're going to see how good the Christian life is. But this is a message to Christian to free us up, to get us to the place where we are led by the Spirit of God. We entrap ourselves so much, we're our own worst enemy. I love what Bill Johnson says. He says the Holy Spirit is trying to move through the hearts of unbelieving believers. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That's where the freedom is. And we're constantly, I don't know about you, but we're constantly trading it in for a set of rules and regulations and guidelines. It may be charismatic ones. It may be the Ten Commandments. They may be Methodist ones. They may be who knows what they are. Trying to trade those in to be led by those instead of by the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, I have come to bring life and life more abundantly. And so that means there was not life before. Even with the Ten Commandments and the 613 Mosaic laws, there was not life. The law was put there to show us that we can't get to God by what we do. They are like a governor. They are good if you're not a Christian, if you don't have the Spirit of God. Turn over with me to 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. I'm going to read those. I wish I was more organized to know what verses I would do. I tried the PowerPoint thing. I tried the verses thing. And I was having to skip every third slide or add one that wasn't there. So I realized that's not my style. So you'll just have to take out your iPhones, your e-books, your Bibles, and follow along with me, or write them down and listen later. 1 Timothy 1:8 shows the purpose of the Mosaic Law and the Ten Commandments. And this is very important. I know I'm going to be teaching, but I want to free you of a concept that He came to give you life, and life more abundantly. And if you hear nothing else, that life comes from knowing you are a son of God being led by His Spirit. Life does not come from anything else. Amen. Hold your place there. I'm going to get there. 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. And you're not going to get there by any other way. Amen. There is nothing. Listen to me. This is humbling, like James says. There is nothing you can do to bring more life into you or to get God to like you more than you already are. It is a work of grace. It is a work of faith that no man should boast.
Yes,
I'm telling you, I was as I said last time I spoke here, won't review it, but as I was the perfect Christian, did everything, and then at 24, I asked the Lord to take me home. I had no sin that I knew of in my life, but I was being driven insane by trying to walk a perfect Christian life. The law, whether it's the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law, which means you have to offer a sacrifice when you come in, or a requirement to read your Bible every day, it will drive you either to depression or arrogance. Arrogance because you think you're doing it when you're really not, or depression because you realize you ain't doing it. And that was me. I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ, He was on the cross, and He said, "It is finished." And at that time, a veil was rent in the Holy of Holies. That's the only place where God was. And for 4,000 years from the Garden of Eden to the cross, there was a veil, literal veil, but there was also a veil over their hearts that they could not see God directly. And what I found myself so much to the time doing, for the last 2,000 years, I might have been a part of other Christians, but I know me, I would try to erect that veil again. Well, if I did this, God would use me more. If I did that, God would love me more. I never said that. My theology was good, but my actions were not. Today, let me ask you this. Is there anything in your mind or in your heart you just say, if I could just get it right, I would be all together? It's a lie. That's your law. That's your veil.
Hallelujah.
That we put up.
Yes, sir.
Is it finished or is it not? Is it a gift or is it not? Well, I just can't accept that gift of freedom. I just can't accept that gift that He loves me the way I am now. I can't accept that gift that as I walk with Him, these other things that He wants to happen will come along. Let's read 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. It says that we know that the law is good if one uses it properly. So I'm going to give you two clear choices here today, and I don't think I'm going to do a whole lot of justice in 40 minutes, but I'll try to do my best.
Amen.
There's two ways to live. The law is good, verse 9, if it's used properly. Verse 9 it says, we also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels. No matter what law you put up that says, if I can just get to this, I've got that with God, you're saying, I am not righteous. There's only two ways to live. One is, the law is for unbelievers and those not following God. So when they would refuse to follow God back in the Old Testament, He said, okay, this is what the criteria is, and He made it high enough that you can't get there. So that at the judgment seat of Christ, you're judged. By your law, you're judged. Hell. Or the other way, let me find the verse here. Turn over to Romans 7, verse 6. I know I'm teaching, but I'm trying to get us in the mode. When he said it is finished, it is finished. Now, that doesn't mean a sloppy lifestyle. That doesn't mean a sloppy grace, as some people say. That doesn't mean do is what you want to do. What this means is somewhere we get a glimpse. He is offering us a relationship to walk with the Creator of the universe in a relationship that is not condemning, is not judgmental. Most of us have a hard time going into the presence of God because immediately all these rules and things I haven't done come up. Let me tell you, that is not from God. He said, it is finished. And if he does bring it up, it's not condemnation. That's the devil to keep you out by saying, put the veil back again. I'm telling you, there's freedom here. And the Lord, for the last 20 years, I'm trying to give you something that for 20 years I've wrestled with since I was 24 and wanted the Lord to take me home. I'm 52 now, 18 years. And slowly I'm starting to understand. It's just basic stuff like this. Is to wake up in the morning, don't say anymore, Father, I want to follow you with all of my heart. I had to stop saying that because it imposed all these to-do lists. Maybe that's not for you, but as you start going, I am a son of God. He wants to walk with me. He'll start leading you and showing you where these veils of performance are. Now what happens is when you walk with him, something does grow on the inside of you. And you can't predict which one it's going to be. Galatians 5, we'll come, hold your finger there in Romans 7, 6. We'll come back. But in Galatians 5, there's nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's in one hand. In the other hand, he has the nine gifts. The gifts he just gives you, the fruits he grows in you. Well, if we don't have the law, like don't commit adultery, honor our father and mother, what do we have? If you walk with him, you start walking with, as you led by the, those who are the sons of God or led by the Spirit of God, what does the Spirit have? Love. Joy. Patience, self-control, gentleness, kindness. It's a whole different way of looking at it. And he'll prompt you, you know, Craig, that wasn't a real nice thing to say. It's not a condemning. He said, let's grow this area up.
Amen. Yes.
As I said last time, I had to stop reading my Bible for 6 months. Now that's just heresy in the group I grew up in. Okay? But you know what he was doing? He was working on my motivations. It took a little while. I'm going to tell you in about 2 minutes, but it took a little while just to give you an example of the walk of where there's a veil. He starts asking me, and he said, Craig, why do you read your Bible? It boiled down to this. I was told every good Christian reads their Bible. Which is true, but you see where my motivation was. I was trying to be a good Christian. Secondly, when I did read it, I was trying to find out what to do to be a good Christian. So I had to stop for me. I'm not recommending this to you, and don't go out saying, our pastor told us not to read the Bible for 6 months. You know, if the Spirit of God leads you that way, so be it. The Bible is wonderful. We need the Word to cleanse us off of the stuff that's going on. But he said, read it for this. And I've tried to change, and I'm getting better at it. But old habits are hard to change. He said, read it to find out who you're walking with, where I'm going, what I do when I get there. Because if you're walking with me, you're going to see the same thing. That's a whole different way of looking at it. So now I'm trying to read the Bible to find out who he is, where he's going, and what he's doing, because if I'm hanging around him, I'm going to get to see the same stuff and find out who he is. You see how the veil's been removed there? See, in the Garden of Eden, you were not created under rules except for one. It was a personal choice. There is always something where you have to choose. He said, eat of the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it's not like it's just you hanging around with no responsibilities. But he came, that was it. You were not created to live under rules. That's why it causes stress. That's why it causes depression. That's why it causes discouragement. That's why people don't want to go to church. There's usually two major reasons people don't want to go to church. The first one is it's boring. The reason it's boring is because the Holy Spirit's not there, except in doctrinal form. If you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life, instead of waking up, so now when I wake up, I say, Holy Spirit, what's going on today? What you want to do? How are you doing? It automatically sets a pace where it's hard to be bored. So whenever there's boredom in a church, it's because they've put the Holy Spirit into a doctrine. They understand the three points of the Trinity, but they're not being led by the Spirit of God. And so wake up in the morning and say, Holy Spirit, just start talking to Him. Don't ask what your assignment is. Don't do this or that. I mean, He's big enough to tell you all that. Just start talking to Him like you do with your wife. Well, actually, me and my wife, we don't talk in the morning. We're not morning people. We just get out the door. But maybe 2 hours after you wake up. Or if you're a morning person, maybe you do that. You follow what I'm talking about? And so you just do that. Wake up and do that. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's go back to this passage here. This is the other, Romans 7:6. It says, but now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
What I'm trying to get across, we could talk about this. Think about how it was in the Garden of Eden before the Ten Commandments, before the Mosaic Law. We don't totally understand, but we got one indication because it says that the God came by and talked with them in the cool of the evening. So there's some indication there it was about relationship. Were they concerned about living up to God's expectations? Now I'm telling you, that's a hard concept for me to get around. They were not rebellious, they were not in sin, but somehow or another they were not concerned about living up to His expectations. There's something that needs to come into Christians, especially in a real religious area like this, where we just need to relax. Now don't get weird on me and go off and rob banks and do all this kind of stuff. That's not what I'm saying, okay? But I'm telling you, it's torture to live under, am I accepted by God? What is God thinking of me now? Let me tell you this. If you're not doing right, you know you're not doing right. Ask forgiveness and move on. Okay? The law's written on your hearts now. If you've confessed, if you're doing the best you know how, let me set you free. You're in the will of God right now. That doesn't mean it won't get better tomorrow. That's why you stayed here on earth, so it gets better tomorrow. He wants to improve the earth. It's that simple. Christianity is simpler than what we think, as I've written on the blog. If you're doing the best you know how, relax. We need to enjoy life more. I hate going to churches and Christian groups, and I hate it when I do it myself. We walk in, and it's some of the most uptight people I have ever seen in my life. I mean, you know what? You can tell when religion's around and there's a veil around because we're all scared to death of what's doing wrong. Meanwhile, if Jesus was here, He would be dancing.
Hallelujah.
He may even throw over some tables in our lobby, depending on what we got in our lobby.
Come on with
it. You follow him? And so it's relax. It is finished. And I just pray I can communicate this as well as I can. This whole concept. We just have to relax and realize it's what He did is bigger than what we think He did. We accept salvation by grace, but we don't live by grace. Wake up in the morning and go, Father, Holy Spirit, I just love You. Just start loving on Him during the day. I'm telling you, the fruits will rub off on you. Acceptance will come into you. If there's something he wants you to do, he'll share it with you. Don't go to him for what to do. Go to him just because he's fun to walk with. He's got a great sense of humor. We talk a lot about flowing in the power of God here and laying hands on people and prophesying, and we do all that and we believe all of that. But for all of that to work without it being a formula, we have to be led by the Spirit of God, and that means we have to know the Spirit of God. And so I'm trying to reverse in me, and hopefully you pick up some of it in my ineffective communication, that it's more about Jesus than we realize. Now, I'm going to touch on a touchy subject just because we're in this area and I think we need to. A couple weeks ago, or I don't remember when it was, but I wrote a blog on Is It a Gift or Not about Eternal Security and Your Salvation. This whole thing has two extremes, but I want to try to do a path down the middle so that we're set free. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. One extreme, it's like Rick Joyner says, people typically go down a road and they end up in one ditch on one side or a ditch on the other. We don't want to get in one or the other. You know, and Mike and I, Tuesday we ate lunch and we went back and forth on this. And I honestly can't tell you exactly where the middle of the road is. It's a progress. But I do want to tell you where the ditches are. One ditch is at 8 years old, you pray a prayer somewhere, and you live like hell the rest of your life. My take is, when you meet Jesus Christ and realize how awesome he is, and you realize that you sent him to that cross, even if you're 8 years old, you can understand this. And if you are the only person born, he would have still had to go to that cross because of what you had done already up to eight. And he did that to save you from hell, but to bring you into relationship. That's why at the Garden of Eden, when they were in that garden and they broke off relationship because they disobeyed, he said, "Where are you?" And so once you understand, I sent him there. The demons stormed that cross and tormented him and gave him a hell while he was on that cross, my hell. And he broke relationship with the Father for the first time. He wasn't primarily concerned about the physical torment that he was going to go to, and I'm sure he didn't want to look forward to that. But for the first time ever in eternity, he was going to break relationship with his Father, Abba God. Do you realize how radical he was? He said, "I came to earth to show you the Father." They were scared to death of the Father. Because the Father in the Old Testament brought down fire and brimstone and killed people and all this stuff. They did that because they chose to live under the law. All right? You don't want relationship with me? This is the law. This is the consequences. But he came to say the Father is not like this. He called him Abba, which was blasphemous, irreverent for that time. They could have stoned him to death for that. He said, "I've come to show you an intimate personal relationship with him. With none of all this other stuff." And I know in my own life, I spend so much time trying to get there, but then I keep piling stuff on top of it between me and him. I just need to relax. How about you? I just need to relax. Really, how much of my life is changed by what I do? I just have to agree with where he's going and walk with him. It's tough sometimes, but I just keep walking with him. Most of it just happens by walking with him. So one side of the ditch is the guy that when you get saved and they live like hell the rest of their life, I'm not going to say they're not saved or saved, but my personal opinion is if you understood you sent yourself, that God went to the cross, and for the first time ever, that's what he was scared of. He said, "Take this cup from me." He had never suffered separation from Abba. And I understand that. It will be a change in my life. There's going to be some outward evidence of my walk that I won't be doing it perfectly. I never will, but there's going to be some change. And if somebody goes and prays a prayer and their life never changes, I have to ask, okay, maybe they made an intellectual understanding of the gospel, but it was not a soul decision that changed their life. So one ditch is to pray a prayer thinking you're there. The prayer does nothing. It's a law. If it doesn't bring you into relationship, maybe it's a baby relationship, obviously, but if it doesn't bring into something that causes it to start changing, I'd have to say you intellectually understand the gospel, but it didn't transform you enough to start the walk in relationship.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's God's decision. That's where Craig's at. The other side, and so that can be a false security. The other side is a torment that's on earth. The other one, if they didn't really get saved, is going to be a torment in hell. The other side's a torment on earth. And you can go to the other side, and I've seen groups of people that come in and out of here. Every time they sin, they think they've lost their salvation. You know what that is? That's a veil. That's a law. You've just substituted whatever you did as sin for the 613 Mosaic laws. That's torment. And if you've been in that denomination, start rebuking it. Go the other way. When he was on the cross and he said, "It is finished," he was actually saying this. I'm being sarcastic here. It is finished, except when Tony Cooper in the year 2012 yells at Lisa. It doesn't cover that. It's self-introspection. As I said last time, for 2 years, I confessed sins every which way to the point of insanity. My friends were going, "Why were you talking so much under your breath?" Because I was trying so hard to get in a relationship. He said, "Buddy, it's already done. When are you going to learn? Just walk."
Glory to God.
Well, what if I really screw up? The prodigal son screwed up. Even when he was at the pig trough, he said this. He may not have been in active relationship. He said, "But in my Father's house." He knew he was still a son. There is nothing. There is nothing that is stronger than the blood of Jesus. And if you think there is, it's arrogance on our part. It's a lie we have believed. Relax. Enjoy Him. Walk with Him. And if you're one like me, it's always confessing sins, thinking you're losing your salvation, don't do it anymore. You've got to go cold turkey. How many of you know? How many of you been in that background? You know what I'm talking about? You just got to go cold turkey. Now, I'm not talking about being rebellious. Don't get weird on me. Understand the thing, you know, don't be the prodigal son because there's consequences. You go rob a bank. Maybe you don't live under Ten Commandments, but I tell you, if you steal and rob a bank, he's going to love you, but he's going to love you while you're in prison. You are going to have a great relationship there, but there are consequences to our behavior. Okay? You know. Now let me give you, that was just the review from last week. Life's good. That's why I'll be back next month.
Amen.
Let me give you some principles about walking with the Holy Spirit. I got 9 of them here. Maybe go through one or two. Following the Holy Spirit is easy. As I said last time, I struggled after this period of when I was 24. I read books. If you stacked them on top of them, they'd be this high on how to find the will of God. I've even got a blog that's written somewhere. The reason I say that is the next 3 weeks are already queued up with the blogs. Because some weeks I can write one. 2 weeks in a row I may not be able to write one at all. 1 week I write 3. So I have to queue them up just because of my work schedule. So I can't remember what's what. I don't know what's coming out today. So you get the point. But the will of God, we make it too complicated. Does your children, or when you were a child, did you know what the will of your father was? Almost always. You knew what he expected of you. Didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Now, that doesn't mean you did it, but you knew what was expected of you. If you didn't, what did you do? Dad, what you want me to do? It's as simple as that. And if he doesn't give you an answer, then you do what makes sense that you want to do. It's as simple as that. take an old man, I'm not old yet, middle-aged man, struggling, save yourself 10 years. The will of God is this: He's a good father. He can speak to you. You'll know, usually just by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. If not, ask Him. If you don't get an answer, just do what you want to do. I'm not talking about being rebellious. Do what is wise, okay? It's as simple as that. Isn't that more freeing? Well, I got to grunt a little bit. I got to strain a little bit. It's finished. There's no more grunting and straining. Do you feel some of it just sort of rolling off of you? So follow. The first principle is follow. And I think I talked about this last month. I can't remember. Is follow the still small voice, the impressions that are inside of you. He doesn't, I won't say he won't speak audibly to you. He's never spoken audibly to me. None of the Christians I know has he ever spoken audibly to. He can, but you got to understand, when he spoke audibly in the Gospels and audibly in the Old Testament, it's because they didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them, and that's the only way they could hear. He had to speak audibly to them because he wasn't on the inside of you. But now he's on the inside of you, he just speaks to you that way. I'm not saying he can't. He speaks audibly to unbelievers a lot. Why? It's simple. They don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. You've got an internal GPS unit with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So follow those things. Now, secondly, a second principle is, as he's speaking to you, he rarely, when he's given direction, he rarely gives you direction the same way twice. And it drives me nuts. I love formulas. I'm an engineer by training, computer programmer now by living. I love formulas. God doesn't always do formulas. I think He does, because He made the earth and He made the sky and He made the stars, and they're all mathematically aligned and He's done all this stuff. But His formulas just don't match up with my formulas. Sometimes that aggravates me. Have you ever had this happen? He says, go do A, then go do B, and then you automatically go, okay, C's next. I've got this. And he comes and goes, jump to T. Well, that's not linear. That's not straight line. Why did he do that? Because his order is different than my order. And on top of that, many times he's going, okay, he leaned on me for A and B, but he ignored me for the last week because he knew C was coming. He didn't have to ask me anything. And I'm just going to throw T in just so that we keep walking together, because I like hanging out with Tony. Tony's fun. I always pick on you. What's the deal with that? Maybe because it's the same last name. I like hanging out with Tony. You see this in marriage relationships a lot. I know what my wife's going to say. I don't have to listen. Da, 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 da. I'm talking as a man. Women never do this. And they're just talking, and you don't hardly hear anything because you know what they're going to say. And all of a sudden, they'll say something. You go, whoa, that's out of the script. I guess I better listen a little closer here. But he never does the same way twice. And you have to get in a mentality that Jesus loves life. He is living life to the fullest. He's a man like me and you, too. He's loving life. And I want to get some of that. How many of you want to get some of that? I don't want to survive. I don't want to make it to the end. He left you here to bring Him into the earth. And it's war sometimes. It's hard sometimes. But it's just fun. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to kick ourselves because going, I wish I had had more fun.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I wish I had had more fun. He loves life. Life was made to be fun.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
He loves variety. Variety is the spice of life, as they say. That's how Jesus is. And He wants, even as sometimes dead Christianity, it is still the most alive religion on this planet. Do you realize basically we're the only one that even sings?
No.
Think of one. Which one sings? The Buddhists don't. They hum. They do the mmm.
Yeah.
If that's singing, go for it.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
The Muslims, they got that call that they do every morning.
Wow.
They don't sing. It's the only one that I know of that sings, at least any major religion. Think about it. He's fun. It's the only one that's fun too. I've been in Istanbul. I've been in Hagia Sophia and the Blue Dome and some of these other great Muslim mosques. I was not there when they had a service because I'm an infidel. But I did see them go in and out. The deadest Christianity you've ever seen is alive compared to that. He loves life. He never does the same way twice because I think he gets bored easily. He's like, man, it's so awesome up here in heaven. Let's just try to bring as much as we can down here, okay? In the Gospels, he never healed that I saw. And he healed the same person twice, the same way. And you think we're weird? You just come on up next time and ask for prayer for healing. And I'm going to be led by the Spirit and say, I think I need to spit in your eye. This is the spitting church. We have rags over here and we have sanitizers, but we spit in your eye. Okay, we read these verses so often that we don't think about it anymore. But it was just as weird then as it is now. I doubt anybody spit in anybody's eye except right before a fight. Okay, if you don't like that, we're going to make you go dip in the river 7 times. Go over here to whatever this creek is over here between us and Murray County. Can you imagine being in a church service even now? And the pastor comes up and gets out of a bucket and you think it's anointing oil, but it's mud. And he puts it on your eyes. How many of you are going to rush towards the altar? I mean, he was always doing crazy stuff like this. And we know that he was led by John 5. He only did what he saw the Father doing. I don't understand all that, and I know those are some extreme examples, but variety, he loves variety. He rarely prompts you to do the same thing the same way twice. Why? Because heaven's got so many resources, he's trying to introduce you to them. He's trying to bring them in. Amen. Another principle, we'll close with this. And this is something I've done, and I just want to pass it on. One of the biggest things that's helped me, it says, Romans 8:14 again, those who are led by the Spirit of God are what? One of the gifts is praying in tongues. There's a personal gift, and then there's a public gift. Romans 8:26, you can go back and look at it. It says, well, let me find it here. Romans 8:26 says this, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. The principle is this: when you don't know what to do and you got to have an answer and you're weak, pray in tongues.
Yes, sir.
It's funny, since we've come here into this city to try to bring some of these truths, this one is maligned and made fun of more than any of them. I know there's a public gift, but there's also a private gift, and that's what I'm talking about. You can just do it between the Lord, and that's what it's talking about here, I believe. It doesn't say tongues, but as we get through here, I think it fits the scenario well. One reason I think it's so made fun of is because of its power. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So when you're up against something and you have to have an answer and you don't know what to do and you keep beating yourself to death and trying this and trying that and you're doing the best you can, it's like this. We do not know what we ought to pray for. How many times have you been there? I just don't know what else to pray. I've done everything. This is when this kicks in. This is when this principle kicks in. And I'm telling you, it's powerful. At those times, the Spirit, verse 26, Himself intercedes for you. When you pray in tongues, you've stopped praying and you've given the Holy Spirit permission to pray what you don't know how to pray.
Glory to God. The genius of God.
That's why he's there. For us, with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts, he's searching your hearts going, he's at an impasse. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to get there. He's done everything. He searches our hearts to know the mind of the Spirit that knows everything. And then the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I could talk about this for an hour. I'm just going to do it for a few minutes and I'm going to end. This is more powerful than we ever realize. I'm telling you, I challenge myself and you every day just to pray in tongues, whether you have a problem or not.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It says in Ephesians, I pray that you grow in wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is this. This is experience that you have gotten by living out principles correctly and you've become wise. Biblical principles. How do you get wisdom? It takes time. I don't mean you can't start becoming wise, but it takes time. And that's, you know, in our culture, I'm doing a rabbit, but I'll shoot it here. Our culture does not value old age. It values youth. The Japanese Asian cultures value old age. Now there's something to be for youth, but let me tell you, you don't have a whole lot of wisdom at youth. You have zeal, but not wisdom. And we've lost that because wisdom comes, the older you are, if you've lived your life for God, the wiser you'll be. Now I know there's some old people that they did their own thing and they're not wise. But there are older people that are wise that can only come from experience. You cannot be fully wise at 24.
That's right. That's right.
You can be on the path, but you're not there. Right. We need to respect those that have lived life because of wisdom. Now, revelation is stuff that he just gives to you now because he's a gracious God.
Yes.
It will never contradict the biblical principles. This church, many of its principles here, as I was sharing, I had a counseling appointment Tuesday night. I was sharing with somebody and we were talking through some things and I said, I know some of the things we do is different. But most of those different things came by revelation that matched up with the Word of God. He just came in and said, I want you to do this. We shared at the fifth Sunday while we do the offering baskets the way we do. It was just a revelation. Bam. Have you noticed we never asked for church membership here?
Yes.
We used to. We used to do the first five or six years, I don't remember, somewhere in there. We had church members come, join, give your certificate. And then when some other church asked, they left, they'd say, transfer the letter of certificate and all that kind of stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's nothing wrong with that, but in Revelation, one time the Lord just said, you can do that if you want to, but why are you doing that? Well, whenever God, let me give you another principle throwing in here. Whenever he asks you a question, you're not to answer it. It's to cause you to go inward, but realize if he asked you a question, it's a point he wants to make. So just say, okay, this is why I'm doing it. Why should we not have membership? He said, there's no membership in my body. He said, if you're saved, walking with me, you're in my family. So if they come into here and they're walking with you, they're part of the local family. If they come in here, join, and you don't see them for 6 months, maybe on paper they're a member, but they're really not a part of your family. Because you hadn't seen the relatives in 6 months. Y'all follow what I'm talking about? So just come, love on people, let them love on you. If they're a part of your local family, I know we're part of a bigger family, you'll know it. And when they leave, you don't have to send a letter of certificate transfer with them. That was nice. Well, that was the point of Revelation. So with you, with your kids, with your spouses, with your finances, whatever your challenge is, most of these things that we've done differently around here was when I or somebody else was praying in tongues and the Lord just drops it in. Revelation, when you pray in tongues, can happen anytime, but it's like a super turbocharger boost. When you pray in tongues, you're praying the perfect will of God. You may not even know what it's like. If you You're praying about something, even if you don't know what you're praying about. Now, if you're having a hard time, say, with your kids, just start praying in tongues. Say, Father, I don't know how to pray anymore. I'm at a loss. There's a zillion Bible verses. I don't know how to apply them. Just start praying in tongues. And sometimes he's just praying the perfect will, because the problem is on the kid's part. You're doing everything right. See, we automatically, this veil, this performance, these rules come up and go, because it's wrong, I'm doing something wrong. It's baloney. You could be, God went to God. There's a lot of things that can happen to you, and you're perfectly in the will of God because you live in a sinful, fallen world. And even if you had done everything perfect, it would still happen this way. We have to relax. We take too much responsibility. Our responsibility is to walk with the Lord. And so if you got those kids, is you just praying in tongues, he may be over here sending out angels, working on conviction, doing everything that's supposed to happen, because the problem is their heart, and it's nothing you have to change. You're doing everything right, because it takes two to tango. Or sometimes he'll pray and he'll drop something in. Well, won't you do this? And that's what you're to do. It's simpler than you think.
It is.
Now we have to push in and pray in tongues. So I challenge you to pray in tongues. If you're beating your head up against a wall and you can't, it just ain't getting there, start praying in tongues. Now, maybe not when you're in a conference meeting at work. I wouldn't advise that. You know, use some wisdom here. You're having a hard time at work, and all of a sudden you bring out, ooh, God, I need some of my God. You know, it's a great way to get fired. Just don't do that. That doesn't mean it's not valid, but not everybody's where you are at, okay? If you're in the middle of a bunch of, I've had to do, I'm in a lot of prayer, not a lot anymore, but I used to be in a lot more prayer groups of different people from different beliefs, and not everybody believes in speaking in tongues. That's okay. Because when you run out of words to pray, you just run out of words and your own hope. When I run out of words, by the grace of God, I'm going to start praying in tongues.
Amen.
But I'm not going to do it in front of them because it ticks them off. You know, if you're in a group of people and some don't, but don't start breaking out in tongues. Just say, all right, fine. This is where I'm at. I wish I could pour it out, but move on.
Amen.
God saved you on the cross. He said, it is finished.
Hallelujah.
Let's stand. I appreciate y'all's patience. It is finished. Today, I just pray over every person. He loves you just the way you are. Yeah, but I need this and that. Yeah, you probably do need more patience, Tony Cooper. I'm just picking on him. I don't know what he needs. He actually seems to be a very patient person. I'll pick on myself. You need more patience, Greg Cooper. But you know, I just have to hang close to him and he'll work on that.
Hallelujah.
If I wake up in the morning and go, I need more patience. I need more patience. I need more patience. What have I become? I've become sin-focused. For guys, let's be blunt, one of our biggest challenges is lust. Maybe not you, but me.
Amen.
If I wake up in the morning and go, I shall not lust, I shall not lust, I shall not lust, I shall not lust. Well, what have I been thinking about? Lusting for the last 4 minutes. I get this image. Okay, don't lust after her. Like, oh yeah, don't lust. See how fruitless it is? Whether I shall worship and read my Bible, or I shall not worship or lust, it's all in the same category. I got to go and say, Jesus, I am the righteousness of you because of your gift. I am your son because of you. And you've become Jesus-focused, you've become God-focused, and it just starts rubbing off on you. Father, I just pray blessings on every person here and set us free, not unto sin, not but from ourselves and unto you. And Father, I thank you that you're raising an army of people who are passionate and in love with you. Let me read to you this 1 Samuel or Song of Solomon 7:10, and I promise we'll close. I have to look it up. I don't have it memorized. It's just a whole nother way of living. Song of Solomon 7:10 says this. Now this is hard for us guys, but I want you to say it over yourselves. You don't have to say it loud. None of the rest of the guys can have to hear it. Song of Solomon 7:10. Wake up in the morning and say, I belong to my lover, and his desire is for me. The first part might be a little hard in this southern macho thing, but just say this. Wake up in the morning and go, Father, I thank you, your desire is for me. You chased the human race for 4,000 years. You don't have to chase me anymore. Amen. Thank you. We just worship you, Jesus, in this place. We just worship you in this place. Oh, and I thank you that we're before your throne room as close as we can get, standing right beside you. Doesn't matter how our morning went, because it is finished. The blood is big enough. Help us to relax in what you did. Hallelujah, Father. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, you want us to agree with you on anything, myself and some of the other leaders will be over here to your left. Just relax. It's amazing what explodes. Amen.